Hello and welcome back to the Sweet Spot, sponsored by SBK. Dave Clark is away this week, as is Steve Palmer. They're both enjoying well-deserved breaks. So it's myself, Tom McGarry and James Mason that will be previewing this week's golf in action. James, how are you doing?
Yeah, no, not too bad. Thank you very much. I've got a little bit of golf in from the last time I was on here. I played six holes. It's like a par three, 6-hole course at Rudden Park. So I went over and played that. And that was okay. Not what I'm usually used to, but yeah, hopefully that's got the golf in sort of the itch to go back out on the course again.
I'm not revealing too much about how you played there. So yeah, getting a little bit of the rust out, shall we say.
I made a couple pars and I also found the water. They've got a brilliant, the fifth hole, it's an island green, like a sawgrass-esque. So you've got to hit to an island green and I may have put one ball in the water.
I'd probably put about 10 in the water and then I picked up and moved on. But let's not get into my golfing abilities. You're very much the expert in that department. I'm a little tired myself. I had a wedding at the weekend and currently juggling a newborn. So I've said to myself, if my eyes close during the course of today's show, it's nothing to do with your tipping or what you're saying. It's just this might present the best opportunity for myself to get a little bit of shut eye over the course of the day. But no reflection on what we're about to talk about, because it's another packed week of golf to look forward to and reflect on. Before we get on to that, though, just a reminder that all new SBK users will get £40 in free bets when they sign up and bet £10 for the first time. And don't forget to head to SBK for lots of other offers and promotions throughout the weekend. Full T's and C's apply, 18+, begambleaware.org. So, first of all, we probably should reflect back on the golf we've seen over the course of last week. And two tournaments really to focus on, James. The Women's Open, which was won by Mio Yamashita, who won by two shots to claim her first major success. An impressive performance from the Japanese 24-year-old. She's had a couple of top 10 finishes I saw in previous majors in the women's game, and finally getting over the line in this one.
Yeah, no, it was a really good performance from her. It's in a rookie season, so, you know, to win a major in your rookie season on the LPGA Tour is something that's, you know, stands her in really good stead for the rest of her career. She was playing well coming into it as well. She'd had a top 10 at the Scottish Open, so that links form leading into the Women's Open, which was played at Royal Porthcawl in Wales. So, yeah, you've got to give a lot of credit to Yamashita. It was more really the second round that set her up for sort of building that lead at the top of the leaderboard. She was 7-under, I think it was, she was going in that second round and then built a few shots lead. Charlie Hull, who was trying to catch her as well, she said she couldn't believe that she'd gone around in that score on the second day. So yeah, the future looks really, really bright. And it's another player off that rolling conveyor belt for Japanese women golfers of Yamashita. There were loads and they're up around the top of the leaderboard for a lot of the tournaments. And yeah, it's just the women's game, certainly Japanese golfers has certainly sort of shot off over the last few years. Not so much in the men's game. You've still got Hideki Matsuyama as the main one. But yeah, certainly Yamashita looks like she's got a lot to look forward to in her career.
Yeah, it could be the first of many victories for her and a number of the other Japanese players. You mentioned Charlie Hull, tied for second, the fourth time she's finished second in a major, still yet to get across the line. I mean, she pushed Yamashita all the way on Sunday. A couple of bogeys at the 16th and 17th really cost her. Is this another blow for Charlie, or can she build on this and finally get over the line in a major?
It's an interesting one with Hull, because she's clearly a talented player, but is she going to be one of those golfers who is just the nearly person when it comes to majors? We'll have to wait and see. She's actually played pretty well, because she was saying ahead of the tournament, I think it was, she'd lost quite a lot of weight. She'd been ill recently. She had a virus and she'd lost quite a lot of speed on her swing, but she's played pretty well. So maybe that's maybe just a little moment for her to think, well, I don't need to try and be sort of bulking, getting so much speed and power into the swing, you know, is trying to utilize it and be a bit more balanced. So it'll be interesting to see whether she can get over the line. Certainly it is a good performance, but it is potentially another mental blow for her not to get over the line. But I do think challenging again, there is an opportunity going to the next majors next season for the women that she could potentially nick one.
Yeah, she'll certainly be hoping so, but she's not the only British or English player that's been catching the eye. Lottie Woad, was she the favourite going into last week's Women's Open? I mean, coming from nowhere, certainly from my point of view, impressive at the Scottish Open, of course, before that, which probably led to her being the favourite. But she managed to get a tied eighth, another a top 10 finish, and she's certainly one for the future and very much the now as well.
She is, because obviously she was an amateur only recently. Then she won a tournament as an amateur. And then on her first professional appearance, she goes and wins the Scottish Open in the week leading into the Open. And then she gets installed as the favourite. It what was her first major as a professional as well. She played in a few majors before, you know, being the leading amateurs. But to suddenly get installed as the favourite going into the major, I think was huge, huge pressure for her, and she handled it really, really well. You've got to give her huge credit, you know. She had all the cameras looking at her. She was in one of the big groups going out, and a tied eight finish is very, very respectable. I mean, she looks like a fantastic player. The world is her oyster, you'd feel, and it'll be interesting to see how she goes from now until the end of the season. But yeah, she looks like a player that will be grabbing a major at some point. Where it comes, I'm not too sure, but you've got to give huge credit to Woad because she looks like a real talent.
Yeah, there's not many players in the sporting world that can come from nowhere and become the favourite, you know, the flavour of the month. You think like Luke Littler in the darts or something like that, something similar. But yeah, Lottie Woad handling the pressure really well and certainly one with a big future. It was a very enjoyable Women's Open at Royal Porthcawl. On the men's side of things, on the PGA Tour, the Wyndham Championship last weekend, and Cameron Young finally getting over the line and getting a PGA Tour victory, the 94th attempt that I think I saw, seven-time runner-up previously, but in the end, he gets the victory, and it looked to me anyway, James, pretty comfortable in the end. There were no real scares, six shots. He finished ahead of the field on 22 under and seemed to get most of the hard work done over the opening couple of days.
Yeah, no, it was really, in the end, comfortable for Young, and I think he probably needed that. He didn't want, you know, it to be a tight affair going into the last round or the back nine. He wanted to make sure he had that big cushion, like you mentioned, with the seven runner-up finishes that he had, one of those being at the Open back in 2022. And at that time, you probably thought, well, you know, his first victory won't be far away, but he's had to be made to work for it. He's sweated for it. He's gone through some disappointing results. But yeah, getting over the line, he had sort of the little wobble later on, didn't he? Bogeys at 16 and 17, but he had a sizable lead. It was no real matter for him. So yeah, for Young now, it's just, where does he go? You know, is this the victory that will really step him up to the next level? Very potentially, because going into the playoffs, there's been a bit of a habit with the FedEx Cup playoffs of somebody winning and then winning again back to back. It happened with Lucas Glover. He won the Wyndham and then he won the St. Jude. So is there a potential that Young could do that this week? We'll have to wait and see. But certainly it should give him that confidence boost I think he needs. And it will also boost his chances of getting in the US Ryder Cup team as well, which is in the back of the minds of a lot of players at the moment.
Well, that's it. Yeah, any kind of form or momentum you can build up at this stage of the season, and he's going to come into the reckoning, isn't he? And Matt Meisner was his nearest rival. His compatriot came second, and Sweden's Alex Norén in third. It's a really good performance for Young. He was in tears at the end, wasn't he, as well? And maybe a popular winner as well. It's always nice to see someone after, you know, such a long time who's been knocking on the door. I mean, you mentioned Charlie Hull in the Women's Open in terms of majors, but for Young to get over the line, and as you say, he may go on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, he could. I mean, it's what Young wants to do now, and hopefully for him in his career that he will go on, you know, to bigger and better things. But of course, with the tournament as well, it sort of confirmed the top 70 in the FedEx Cup standings as well. And what we usually have in the last regular season event is the number crunching going on, and it's people dropping in and out of the places, and it's like, oh, he needs to make a birdie here to get through. And there wasn't really much of that. The only player that came into the top 70 was Chris Kirk, and Byung Hun Ang was the one to drop out. That was of the top 70 at the start of the Wyndham to that finished it. So there wasn't much movement in the FedEx Cup standings, which is interesting to see. But there's big names that haven't made the top 70 as well. Just naming a few here. Adam Scott, you've got the Højgaard brothers, Michael Thorbjørnsen, Tom Kim, Alex Noren, as you mentioned there, had a good finish. Billy Horschel, Max Homer, Victor Perez, Nick Dunlap. So there's a lot of players that haven't made this. Of course, we've still got the FedEx Cup fall to look forward to. That run of events starts with the Pro Corps Championship in sort of the second week of September. But yeah, there's a lot of big names that haven't been able to make this top 70 now with the changes they made a few years ago when they cut down how many players got to the tournament.
Yeah, I didn't realise some of those names hadn't made the top 70. Sometimes you glance at the leaderboards over the course of the season, you see one or two players having a good week or two, and you just naturally presume come this stage of the season that they're going to be up there. The Højgaard brothers are standing out to me. But yeah, it just shows consistency is the aim of the game if you want to be involved in the end of season events, which brings us on nicely, really, to this week's golf in action. We've got three tournaments that we're going to focus on. We're going to preview, and James is going to provide his tips. And it really, we have to begin with the FedEx St. Jude Championship. As you were mentioning, James, it's the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The top 70 players eligible to feature in this event. But as it stands, there's only 69 that are going to be teeing up at TPC Southwind. You'll have probably heard at the back end of last week, Rory McIlroy has decided to swerve the event. We've not seen him since the Open Championship last month, where he finished in a tie for seventh. Scotty Scheffler, though, who won that event, he is back in the field and unsurprisingly has found himself straight at the top of the betting as he tends to be. So one big name not involved, one big name certainly is. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of your tips and how you think the week's going to go, James, first of all, a little bit of background surrounding TPC Southwind in Memphis.
Yeah, so TPC Southwind, it's a course that's hosted a PGA Tour event since 1989. It's changed names over the years, but it's been played as the St. Jude. Then it was the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. That was from 2019 to 2021. That was played at the course. And then they moved it to the St. Jude Championship in 2022. So it's been varying different names of it. And, you know, it wouldn't be that surprising if you sort of confused about which tournaments have had the course and the renaming of them all, but that's where it's been. So there's plenty of course form for this one. So the last three winners, you've had Will Zalatoris, Lucas Glover, and Hideki Matsuyama. When the St. Jude Classic was played here, you had winners such as Dustin Johnson, Daniel Berger, he won it back-to-back, Berger, Lee Westwood, Ben Crane. So there's varying types of players who have had success on this. Of course, you look at DJ, he's a bit of a bomber. Lee Westwood, Lucas Glover, they're sort of more solid fairway finders. You know, they're not going to rip the ball 400 yards down the fairway, or 350, something like that. But there's certainly different ways that you can get around this course. It's a par 70, 7,243 yards. You've got 12 par fours, 4 par threes, and 2 par fives. So it's a tree line course, along the fairways, 96 bunkers. Water comes into play on 10 of these holes. And the greens as well are smaller than average. It makes for a really interesting challenge. And I think it'll be a fantastic event with these 69 players. Temperatures as well, they're expected to peak at around 33 degrees. Wind set to be minimal. So it makes for solid scoring conditions. That is not what's going to happen on the DP World Tour event that we will preview shortly. But yeah, scoring conditions and the weather look very, very good for this event. And it'd be interesting to see how players do because, of course, you've got the 69. After this event, the top 50 qualify for the BMW Championship, and then the top 30 after that head for the Tour Championship. So there's players that will be trying to get themselves along the projected standings, get to where they need to be, and try and make sure they prolong their stay in the playoffs.
Yeah, as you were saying last week, when there wasn't much change in the top 70, we might have a bit more of that in this event. And it makes it really interesting as well, particularly if one player is running away with things at the top of the leaderboard. There's those subplots underneath that will keep everyone engaged and involved. And you know, 33 degrees. Oh, that's gonna. I mean, you'd be jumping in the layer. I'd be jumping in the water as I'm going around because that's an incredible heat to be playing four rounds of golf in no second round cut, of course. So all 70 players will be playing for 69 players, I should say, will be playing throughout the 4 days. Before we discuss your tips in detail, any thoughts on Rory McIlroy not being involved and the return to action of Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah, not surprised on McIlroy, because the fact that they've changed the Tour Championship, have changed this, or the PGA have changed this scenario for the final event, the Tour Championship. So for recent seasons or recent years, it's been the starting strokes format. So it's whoever was top started on 10 under, then second was 8 under. But they've changed that now. So it's just everybody starts on level par and then they play the four rounds of golf. Whoever wins the Tour Championship is the FedEx Cup champion. And I think that's great. I think that's exactly what it should have been. I hated the start and strokes format. So McIlroy, he's absolutely rubber stamped in there. He's number two in the FedEx standings. He's not going to drop out of the top 30. So he's thinking, why should I play here? He didn't have a good performance last time he played at the St. Jude anyway. So yeah, I'm not surprised that he's not turning up. And I think he's just trying to keep himself fresh for the BMW if he comes back for that. And then of course the Tour Championship. And then he's looking at stuff like Ryder Cup coming up as well. Scheffler. It's a strange one with Scheffler, because you think he loves playing golf, but then ahead of the Open before he won it, he said, if it ever sort of impacts on my family life, I will just walk away from it. I'll drop the clubs and I'll walk away. He's just such an easy person. Nothing seems to faze him. And if he's on song and he's on form, he's pretty much unstoppable at the moment. Top of the betting as he is, I don't know. Can he keep this winning run going? Who says that he can't? But I think there's a lot of other players in the field that maybe have a bit more to play for this week ahead of Scheffler. Like the fact, you know, you've just got to be in the top 30. So I think there's others that will be maybe trying that a little bit harder to try and get themselves up the FedEx Cup rankings.
Could be dangerous, though, because if it's a relaxed Scotty Scheffler now, you mean...
Yeah, even more relaxed.
It's hard to do, but yeah... Yeah, he's back in action. Rory McIlroy not involved this week. But plenty of other top players will be teeing up at TPC Southwind. How many tips have you got for this week's event?
Gone for 4 tips for this one.
4 tips. Excellent stuff. And is there one that stands out, or you just want to crack on and give us your first one?
Oh, I'll keep the viewers and the listeners waiting. We'll just crack on with the first one.
Okay, who are you picking out?
So the headline pick is Matt Fitzpatrick. So in the first half of the season, I wouldn't have been looking at Fitzpatrick at all. He was struggling to form. He was missing cuts. He parted ways as well with the legendary caddy Billy Foster back in March. It wasn't happening at all for him. And there were real concerns for him in a Ryder Cup year as well for whether he'd potentially just completely miss out on that and not even be in a captain's picks consideration. However, things have certainly turned around for Fitzmagic. He was tied 8th at the USPGA. That was his best result of the year at the time. And it just seems to have given him that confidence boost that he really dearly needed. He had a couple of sort of, okay, positive displays at the Memorial and the US Open, but it's his last 5 starts where he's really clicked into gear. He's gone tied 17th, tied 8th, tied 4th, tied 4th, tied 8th. And those top 5 efforts there, they came at the Scottish Open and the Open, where only Scotty Scheffler couldn't be touched at Royal Port Rush. He was tied 8th at last week's Wyndham Championship as well. So there's definitely, for me, a more confident feel about Fitzpatrick these days. Perhaps it is that it's a Ryder Cup year and it's helped sort of refocus the mind. He's currently 12th in the European standings, and I think a strong display in this tournament and potentially in the next 2 if he can move his way up the FedEx Cup rankings and make sure he qualifies for the BMW and the Tour Championship, that'll grab the attention of Luke Donald, the European Ryder Cup skipper. He's also had a top 5 here in 2022, Fitzpatrick. He shared 18th place last year. He was tied 4th in 2019 when it was the WGC St. Jude Invitational, and he was tied 6th the following year. So he's gone well around this course. He's currently 41st in the FedEx standings. I said that top 50, that's what they're all looking at this week to try and get into the BMW. He'd love, though, to jump further up the standings and then make life easy for him to get into the top 30 of the Tour Championship. So I think watch out for Fitzpatrick, because he is certainly hitting form at the right time of the season.
He certainly seems to be. He's quite insane. He's changed his coach as well. He's changed his caddy and his coach over the course of the last few months. So he's been trying to find a solution to change things up. Sometimes a change is a good arrest, isn't it? And, you know, just a fresh set of ideas, a perspective can change things around.
Yeah, well, that's it. He needed to do something. And obviously the decision to part with Foster was a big call, but it just clearly wasn't working with him. And it was an amicable split as well. Foster knew that something needed to change as well. So Fitzpatrick has changed his coaching team a little bit. He's also, I don't know if you ever noticed, Fitzpatrick chip, but he chips with the hands the other way. So it's very, very stiff arm on the chips, but that's worked for him really well as well. So his short game is massively improved. So he's making little tweaks to his game. And yeah, I think he'll be really looking at a big end to these FedEx Cup playoffs. And like I said, that Ryder Cup will be firmly in the front of his mind for me. I think that'll be more than anything, but he'll want to get in the Ryder Cup team. And to do that, he needs to impress Donald over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's another caveat with this tournament. You want to progress in the playoffs. You've got the Ryder Cup on your mind. There's lots of subplots, as we mentioned. So Matt Fitzpatrick, the first tip for the FedEx St. Jude Championship, what is number two?
Yeah, we're going with Chris Gotterup is the second selection. Now, the American is bang in form heading into this event. He won the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club. He then finished third at the Open. That was his best major finish. And then last time out, he was tied 10th at the 3M Open. So certainly the confidence is being breathed into his game. His form has put him, I mentioned the Ryder Cup, but it's put him into the picture for a Ryder Cup captain's pick. He'd have to go really well with a string of victories if he wants to get into the automatic qualifying, the top six, which he probably won't, I don't think. But definitely, I think that Keegan Bradley will be looking at him as a captain's pick. He hits it a good way. And at Bethpage Black, where the Ryder Cup is, it's a big course. So you'll need someone that can give it a good whack off the tee, which Gotterup does. He's inside the top 30 of the FedEx standings at the moment as well. So he's in a very strong position, Gotterup. He doesn't have that much pressure on his shoulders. He will be making his TPC Southwind debut this week, but his game looks suited to this test for me. It will reward precise approach play and also a good scrambler for the times that the greens are missed. And you look at Gotterup this season, he's fourth in greens and regulation and he's ninth in scrambling. While another notable stat that I've looked at, his position of seventh in par four scoring, the fact there are 12 that you have to negotiate this week, it gives further strength to his claims, potentially, I think, of landing a second title in quick succession.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, if he performs well over the next few weeks, it'd be very hard for Keegan Bradley to ignore when it comes to those captain's picks for the Ryder Cup. Tip number three then for the St. Jude?
Yeah, we're going with Sepp Straka here. Now, he's been one of the most consistent players on the PGA Tour this season. He's third in the FedEx standing, so only McIlroy and Scheffler ahead of him in that regard. He'll be dreaming of a victory at the Tour Championship. He's a two-time winner this year as well. He won at the American Express and the Truist Championship. And he's another player, I mentioned Ryder Cup a lot, but it's just what's going to be talked about over the next few weeks. He'll be hoping to do enough to qualify for the team. He hasn't played since his tied 52nd at the Open, but he's had that bit of time to reset, to refocus ahead of the playoffs. It should have done him the world of good and he'll be raring to go. Tee to green, Straka has really impressed this season. He's seventh in strokes gained in that department. He's fourth in approach. He's third in strokes gained total. It's all making for good aspects for him. He's eighth in greens and regulation as well. Clearly, that side of his game is in fine fettle. He's taken his game to the next level this season. A third win of the campaign. It wouldn't be a surprise for me if he did manage to win this one and further boost his confidence ahead of getting to the Tour Championship eventually.
Yeah, he's third, isn't he, in the FedEx Cup standings? I mean, behind Scheffler and McIlroy, the best of the rest. So that kind of underlines his consistency over the course of the season. Fourth and final tip then from the St. Jude.
Yeah, we're going with Harris English. Now, he won his fifth PGA Tour title at the Farmers Insurance in January, and he's come desperately close this year as well to breaking his major duck. He was tied second at the PGA, and then he was second at the Open, finding only Scheffler too good in Northern Ireland. I mean, he heads into this event at a career-high seventh in the world, so there's been that consistency. We mentioned it with Straka. There's been the consistency with English as well. He finds himself holding on to that sixth and final US Ryder Cup automatic position as well, so there's extra incentive for him to perform well and keep the others that are trying to get into that top six away from him. He won on his TPC Southwind debut in 2013 when it was the St. Jude Classic. He's had a top 10 in 2017 here. He was fourth in 2021 when it was the St. Jude Invitational. He's clearly got a liking for this course. And I think given the confidence he has coming into this event, it would be no surprise to see him lift the trophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you finish second to Scottie Scheffler, certainly this season, you almost need an asterisk next to your name because it's almost a victory when he's involved. But yeah, Harris English playing pretty well. So that's your four tips for the FedEx St. Jude Championship. We'll move a little closer to home now. The DP World Tour, the Nexo Championship, which is taking place at Trump International Golf Links up in Aberdeenshire. It's the second staging of this event, first in 5 years, I believe. So it's going to be an interesting event. We'll get your tips a little bit later. But first of all, a background to Trump International Golf Links, which of course has the links to a certain American president.
Yeah, it does indeed. But yeah, the Nexo Championship, it was known, you mentioned there 5 years ago, the only previous staging, it was the Scottish Championship, it was named then. Adrian Ortegi won it back in 2022. He finished ahead of Matt Wallace on that occasion. But yeah, it's back on the schedule, and it's at Trump International Golf Links in Aberdeenshire, Scotland. It's a par 72, 7,439 yards, so a bit of distance on it. But of course, it's a links course, so you'll get more run on the fairways. 10 par 4s, 4 par 5s, and 4 par 3s. It looks like a proper links test as well. You know, so I haven't played it, but I've looked at some videos and it looks a beautiful course, but it will pack a big bite because the rough should be avoided at all cost. It looks thick and juicy. Getting out of that will be very, very difficult. On approach, plenty of elevated greens to aim for. So any weak approaches, they'll be penalised. They'll be rolling back down. They'll be going off into bunkers or on the big rollers that they have on the side of the greens. Looking at this course, it staged the Tour Championship in October 2024 on the Tartan Tour. That was won by Callum Fife. It's also hosted the last three editions of the Legend Tour's flagship event, the PGA Seniors Championship. And the most recent just completed on Sunday. Bo van Pelt won that one, got the better of the South African Darren Fickart in extra holes. Only two players finished under par. So if the wind gets up and the rain comes down, it's very, very difficult. And I don't have Steve's draw klaxon bias, his klaxon that he sounds for it, but the weather forecast, it is something to keep a really keen eye on, because the storm that's currently battering Scotland, I think, is going to have an impact on this tournament. There is a high chance of big winds and rain across the tournament, especially Thursday and Sunday as well. Friday and Saturday, the minute's looking slightly better, but it can change so quickly, the weather conditions in Scotland. So I think it'll be a really attritional watch at times. And I think anybody who finishes under par will have quite a good chance of winning this tournament. You've got 156 are in the field this week. It's not the biggest strength in depth either. So I think there's a lot of this field, for me anyway, when I was looking at it, that I could easily kind of just move away and not look at. I could swerve them quite easily. But yeah, this should be really interesting. If the rain as well comes down like it's expected to, and the wind, if you find the rough, getting out of juicy rough that's wet as well, it'll be absolutely atrocious for players. So staying on the straight and narrow, that is what you want.
I do love it when it's windy conditions and then players are struggling to get under par. It could be really entertaining, and it seems perfect if it is really wet and windy on Thursday. Players will just be trying to hang on in there, and then on Sunday, even if a player's got a big lead, that the conditions could play their part. It could be set up really, really nicely, which brings us on to your tips. How many have you got for this Nexo Championship?
We've gone three tips. There are a few that were just sort of on the periphery, but I just think with the weather forecast that it is, I'm going to stick with three tips for this one.
Yeah, you mentioned there's not a whole host of standout names. Marco Penge is leading the betting, but it seems... compared to the FedEx St Jude, where Scottie Scheffler, of course, is dominating the betting, it seems very open. So who have you gone with for your first tip?
Yeah, we've gone for Christopher Reitan. It's R-E-I-T-A-N, if anyone wants to look it up, but pronounced Reitan for what I'm reliably informed. But he has been one of the leading stars on the DP World Tour over the past 4 or so months. He was tied second at the Hainan Classic in April, and then he won the Sudal Open 3 starts later for his breakthrough. He was then tied second at the Alpine Open on his next start, and he's since recorded efforts of tied 13th, tied 46th, tied 4th, tied 13th, tied 30th. So there's some good results in there, positive results. Those last two results as well, the tied 13th, tied 30th, they came at the Scottish Open and the Open. So that's links knowledge and links experience for him. Really pleasing to see heading into this event. The future looks really bright for Reitan. He's a dab hand on the greens. His confidence at the moment as well means he heads into each tournament with the full belief that he will get the win. And also, don't be surprised to see Reitan make a late charge. He's put together some stunning final round scores, including when he won the Sudal Open, he set a course record on the Sunday. He was 9 shots off the leaders going into that final 18 holes, got into a playoff and got over the line as well. So don't be worried if his name isn't at the summit early on, because he's very capable of making a late charge.
Not a bad habit to be in, to make a flying finish. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is?
It's Ewan Ferguson. I couldn't have the event in Scotland without going for a Scott in the field as well. And, you know, being able to handle windy conditions, it'll be crucial this week. And that's why I do fancy Ferguson. Born in Glasgow, he's played in tough conditions plenty of times. And I think that should give him a slight advantage over a large chunk of the players in this field. I mentioned before, you want to avoid the rough at all times. And Ferguson, he's 8th in driving accuracy, so he's hitting well off the tee. He's 9th in strokes gained off the tee as well. So yeah, the driving's been solid. Should give him a better chance to hit the greens more often than not. He's also got some solid links form throughout his career as well. You're looking at the notable events. Tied 17th at the 2021 Alfred Dunhill Links. He was tied 12th at the Scottish Open 2 years ago. And then last year at the Open, he was tied 22nd. So he likes playing around this type of layout. And I think, mentioned before, looking at the strength of depth or the lack of strength of depth in the field this week, Ferguson certainly stands out as a solid contender and one who could get over the line.
Potential home winner then in that one. And the third tip from the Nexo Championship?
Yeah, we're going for Jakob Olesen. He's dropped the Skov part when it gets onto his name now when he uses it. It was Jakob Skov Olesen, but just Jakob Olesen now if you're searching for him. But he's well known. Well, you don't have to say that, but he's well known to the Sweet Spot fans for a couple of weeks ago from the Open at Royal Port Rush when he was up there as the first round leader. He tied, so he had the payout there. So Sweet Spot fans that follow them will be very, very happy. And I think he could deliver again by bagging his maiden DP World Tour title. He loves links golf. He won the Amateur Championship at Ballyhefin. That was a links track in Ireland last summer. He started the Open well before, as I mentioned there, at Royal Port Rush, but he had a nightmare first hole on a second round where he made the dreaded snowman an 8 on the scorecard. So that ended his chances, but he still managed to finish in 68th. You know, it was a learning experience for him playing in the major, and I think he will improve. Since appearing in the Open for the first time, he hasn't played competitively. So I think that's good. I think it'll refresh him a little bit and reset the batteries. He's actually been caddying for his girlfriend, Darcy Harry, at the Women's Open in Wales. So it's been quite a relaxed time for him. It's not the first time that he's caddied for his girlfriend as well. So he's used to doing it at times. So yeah, I think Olesen, he'll be ready. He's not really left these kind of shores, has he? He's not been playing over in, you know, in Europe or the States. You know, he stayed around these areas. So, you know, it's not a big sort of travel for him to do. And I think he's someone that definitely likes links golf and could put in a good performance.
Excellent. So yeah, let's see who can brave the conditions in Scotland over the course of the next few days. That takes us then on to the third and final tournament we're previewing this week. We're turning our attention to LIV and the Chicago Individual at Bolingbroke Golf Club in, surprisingly enough, Chicago. Yeah, this is set up to be a decent event. The top three in the individual standings are also leading the way in the betting, not quite in the same order. We've got Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm and Joaquin Niemann. But yeah, Bolingbroke Golf Club in Chicago. James, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It hosted the event last year. So the first two LIV Chicago events in 2022 and 23, they were at Rich Harvest Farms, but they moved to Bolingbroke last year. John Rahm playing the spoils. It's a par 71, 7,224 yards. You've got 10 par 4s, 4 par 5s and 4 par 3s. Now, the 12th hole last year was a par 4 at 494 yards. That will now play as a par 5 this year. That was after a new tee was added to lengthen the hole to 621 yards. It makes it the longest hole on the course. So even though there's a par 5 to go out, there's plenty extra distance for the players to have to try and get over. It's not the longest course in sort of total yards, but there are plenty of hazards to negotiate. There's 7 lakes in total on this course. There's lots of elevated tees. And I mentioned before that I played at the weekend at a sawgrass-esque par 3. Well, Bolingbroke Golf Club have also got one as well. They play to an island green, so that should make for interesting watching. The weather forecast for this one, Friday and Saturday, that looks fine. Sunny with low winds, but there are chance of thunderstorms on Sunday, so potential for some rain and a bit of disruption to this one. 54 are in the field. I should mention as well, It's the penultimate individual event of the LIV season, and it's the first of three consecutive tournaments that are being held stateside.
Yeah, and as usual, the LIV ones are being held over 3 days, Friday to Sunday this week. So that is Bolingbroke. What are you going with in terms of your tips? How many have you picked out for this event?
Yeah, we've gone for three selections. We've got two outrights, and we've got a top 10 selection in there as well.
Where are we going? Are we going outright first? We probably should, shouldn't we? Go with those two.
Yeah, we'll go with the headline selection, and Paul Casey gets the nod for me here. He's looked on the cusp of picking up a win all season without yet doing so. He was tied second in Dallas, fifth in Hong Kong, tied 10th in Singapore, and most recently he was tied 11th in LIV UK. Tee to green, Casey's been really, really consistent. He's tied third in drive and accuracy. He's fifth in greens and regulation. And a big stat, last year when John Rahm won, greens and regulation, the players that were leading that stat going into the tournament for the season, they were the ones, it correlated, as in they played very, very well at LIV Chicago. So if you're hitting greens, it's a really important stat for this course. The one club that has been hampering Casey this season is the putter. You know, he's way down in the putting average rankings. If he can exact any improvement with the flat stick, he could be very, very dangerous and a big contender for the title. He was tied 13th here last year, so I expect him to be closer to the summit this time around.
Okay, that's outright tip number one. What's outright tip number two?
Yeah, we're going for a bit more speculative with these last two tips, but we're going for Henrik Stenson to win in each way play this one. But while there's the fight for the individual title going on, which, by the way, Joachim Niemann, it's very, very unlikely that he will be caught in the individual championship. But there's also a battle to avoid relegation. There are a few players that are in need of some big performances over the next few weeks. One of those is Henrik Stenson. He's currently 47th. In the standings. Now, golfers that finish 49th or lower, they're in danger of being relegated. It's largely been a struggle of a season for the Swede, I'm not going to lie. He was tied 12th in Adelaide in the second event of the campaign, and he had a top 20 in Korea. So those two sort of performances show there's been signs of life at times for him. Now, Bolingbroke Golf Club, mentioned before, it's a course that sort of needs a bit of solid course management, finding fairways, give yourself the chance to hit the greens, you know, that'll be crucial. And there's nobody better than Stenson in that regard. And when it goes to drive and accuracy, he leads in that department. He's 11th in greens and regulation. So tee to green, he's been absolutely fine. So you're thinking, why has he not been playing well? Well, or why has he not been putting the results in? It's the putter. That is the club that's been letting him down. So again, similar to Casey, if there's any improvement with the putter, definitely got a chance of contending. He was tied 6th here last year, so he enjoyed his trip to Bolingbroke last time out. It's sort of a course that suits his game of just being steady and consistent. I think a big showing could potentially be in the offing if that putter warms up.
Yeah, as you say, the incentive is there for him to keep his head above the water, so you know, extra motivation perhaps could see him moving up the leaderboard. Your third tip, then, did you say it's a top 10 shout?
Yeah, going for a top 10 finish, and it's Ian Poulter. He's another player in even greater need of a strong result this week. He's 51st in the standings, currently three places from safety. Now, the Englishman, he may not be the force that he once was in his career. You know, I'd expect his dwindling down slightly, but he's still competitive as ever. You know, he won't want to experience relegation. He won't want that on his CV. He's a very proud player, as a nice way of putting it. He's quite an arrogant player as well, but I think proud is probably nicer to put it towards him. But he did enjoy himself at LIV Chicago last year, Poulter. He shot three rounds of 68. He finished fifth. So there is that hope that he can draw on those happy memories to put himself into a top 10 position and get this bet to land. You know, solid enough off the tee, 17th in drive and accuracy. I think if you can get the irons going over the 54 holes, then, you know, it's usually solid putting. That could see him have another good showing in Chicago. So driver and putter, two good clubs for Poulter. The irons haven't been quite there, but there's the hope that, you know, we performed well at LIV Chicago last year, that he can do it again this year.
Yeah, it does have the feeling if we were filming the sweet spot back in, say, 2010, these three players would fit in quite nicely there. They're a bit of blast from the past, but still very competitive.
Would you believe that Lee Westwood is also around that cusp line of players that could get relegated as well? So, yeah, you really are sort of looking at the older generation. But again, these players, by the way, that are sort of around there, they won't want to get relegated because it's kind of like, what do we do next? You know, they can probably try and play themselves back into Liv or get signed. But, you know, at their ages, usually they'd be moving on to the seniors tour. But with the fact they defected to Liv and then left the DP World Tour and PGA, that they can't play on the seniors tour. So it'll be interesting to see if they can manage to get themselves back onto that. But yeah, they won't want to do that because they've got a cushy life at the moment of these players like a Westwood, a Stenson, a Poulter. You know, the money they're getting paid for playing on Liv Golf and they're playing, you know, much less than they used to. They won't want to give that up.
Yeah, it's not a bad life. I mean, I'd like to finish 47th in a Liv season, and yeah, I'll check my bank balance after that. I'm sure it'd be pretty strong. But yeah, three names there for the Liv Chicago individual this weekend. Now the three tournaments then that we've previewed, 10 tips in total. James will run through those once again just to remind you very shortly. But first of all, SBK are running a 25% winnings boost on the FedEx St. Jude Championship this week. If you pick the winner, you can expect a 25% winnings boost exclusively from SBK. So with that in mind, you might want to listen to these tips as James runs through them once again, starting with the St. Jude.
Yeah, four selections for the St. Jude. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick, Chris Gotterup, Sepp Straka and Harris English.
And the Nexo Championship on the DP World Tour?
Three selections, Christopher Reitan, Ewan Ferguson and Jakob Olesen.
And the Chicago individual tips on the LIV Tour?
Yeah, three selections again, Paul Casey, Henrik Stenson and then a top 10 finish for Ian Poulter.
There you go, 10 tips across those three events to get your teeth into, and hopefully there's at least one or two winners as well. That concludes today's show. All that's left is to say thank you for watching. Dave Clark and James will be back next Tuesday at 5 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Don't miss that. Until then, don't forget to like, comment, share and subscribe. And remember to gamble responsibly.